If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen. Our future is uncertain. But in time, a new hope will emerge.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dan Z and Corey Club.
All troopers, focus your fire on...
on the Jedi.
Come with us. Learn what it truly means to be a Jedi.
I'm in space! And I'm about to die!
We need an opening.
Found one!
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Oh, and guess what? This is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, the Clone Wars are back. We have Clankers, we have Rex, we have tactical droids. It's just a wonderful day in the service of the Republic. The Clone Wars are back. Welcome to A Cup of Clone Wars. Wait a second, that's not right. This is Rebels Reactions. What are we talking about here? I'm Aaron Harris, I'm your host. Joining me for the discussion tonight of the great episode, The Last Battle, is three wonderful individuals. Of course, she was with me last week. Welcome back, Jay Krebs. How are you doing, Jay?
Hey, what's up, Aaron? So happy to be here with a great group of guys to discuss this episode.
Awesome. It's going to be fun. Joining us also, returning from last season, Mr. David Motters. David, how you doing?
Good. Good to be recording with you guys tonight.
Good. I'm glad to have you back, my man. It's good talking to you again. And joining us for the first time ever on a Coffee with Kenobi podcast, making his debut, Mr. Jason Bram. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on and talk tonight. This is an exciting episode.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I'm glad you're able to join us. You're right. This is an exciting episode we're talking about tonight. We are discussing, of course, the latest episode of Star Wars Rebels, which was entitled The Last Battle. You know, for a while there, you know, I thought I was watching a Clone Wars episode when that all started, but it was a great show, great tribute to a phenomenal show which entertained us all and kept us enthralled in the saga for many years. Of course, we got a great episode where, of course, our heroes, Rex and Kanan and Ezra and Zeb, they go off to try to recover some munitions and supplies from a crashed Separatist supply ship. Unfortunately, it's not abandoned. It's still fully manned by an army of battle droids who apparently did not obey the shutdown order, and of course initiates at that point a final battle between the Republic, quote unquote, and of course the Separatist Alliance, because the super tactical droid just wants to prove who's got the superior strategy in the war. Was it the Republic? Was it the Separatists? So we see a lot of great action. We see Rex reliving the good old days, blasting some clankers. And of course, at the end, we see him joining forces against one common enemy, Stormtroopers. So definitely an all-around great episode. We definitely see them working together. And of course, at the end, Ezra makes everybody aware that, you know, everything happened, unfortunately, the way it was supposed to happen. The Clone War, nobody won the Clone Wars, but Rex points out they all did. And it's just going to be a great discussion tonight as we break down this episode, which was just a phenomenal tribute to the Clone Wars. This was something that we, as fans, especially with the abrupt ending to the Clone Wars, the way it happened, we were all left wanting more. And we still, there are still people out there that still want more. I wouldn't mind getting more Clone Wars. I don't think any of you would either, would you?
I think it'd be great. Well, you know I told you this once before, that I literally went through the grief process when the Clone Wars ended, because, you know, the news came out, and I'm sure Dave and Jason, you probably felt the same way. And it was like a shock. I just couldn't believe it. And I wept. I was like, I went into a depression for a few days. And then finally, I kind of got this, you know, sort of acceptance. But boy, was this, instead of Throwback Thursday, this is like Slingback Saturday. And it was just like reliving the Clone Wars again. And it was great for me. How about you guys?
Yeah, I just absolutely enjoyed it. I loved going back to that time. Just like Jay said, it was rough when the Clone Wars ended, and it was just sad, and a lot of people were upset and, of course, still wanted to come back. But this was such a wonderful tribute, and I think one of the worries I had, one of the concerns I had, just like being sad when the Clone Wars ended, was I just didn't know if this was going to be the end of Rex in this one. Mm-hmm. But that was a concern going in.
Mm-hmm. I was biting my fingernails too, trust me, because that was, that was one of the things that I was fearing. That I even asked Aaron, I'm like, am I going to cry? Of course, he wouldn't tell me. But I did end up crying, but not, yeah, I know, but not for the reasons that I thought I would. It was kind of like looking through an old scrapbook in a way, you know, kind of bringing you back to those days. And yeah, they may be over, but you know, now they're kind of really over in a lot of ways, but it brought a lot of closure to some things too, I feel like.
Absolutely. And it brought a lot of closure, not just for the fans, but for our characters as well. And definitely, I know, this is definitely something that we want to dig into, because we see Rex pretty much going back into his element, going out onto this transport at this point. A lot of memories being brought back to him. You see him a little more on edge than we've seen him in the past. Definitely a soldier remembering his past at this point. What kind of insights did you take away from Rex in this episode, Jason?
You know, what was really cool about him is, you know, once they got there, they instantly knew that it was a site for the Clone War battle. And just the moment he stepped off and he said, "Yes, sir, General Kanan," like he just couldn't shake the old habits of what he was programmed to think of the Jedi as.
Exactly. Exactly. He does refer to Kanan as General and immediately shakes it off. And definitely there's some misunderstanding, because Ezra is still has this idealized view of the Clone Wars, which is definitely going to complicate things throughout the episode, especially when trying to understand where Rex is coming from, which definitely I not being a soldier that's been through that myself is hard to understand. I know there's definitely some listeners out there that can probably relate to some of those feelings that Rex had. In that, so it probably hit pretty close to home for him. But the overall impression with Rex was just, I mean, you could tell there was something missing from my point of view. David, what did you gather from Rex in this episode?
Yeah, no, I was just looking at some of the notes I took here on Rebels Recon, and I'm going to piggyback off what Henry Gilroy and Pablo Hidalgo were saying. Henry said, the Rex and the clones never got to finish their mission. And then the very next clip, Pablo says, Rex never got a good mission completion, kind of like really leaving a hole in his life. And just as you were mentioning that, Aaron, I was just looking at these notes and just thinking you're nailing it. They've had a real struggle in trying to win any of these battles. And at least in this one, there is closure, like Jay was saying.
Exactly. He gets the closure eventually and by the end of the episode. But he mentions, of course, something about the eventually winds up talking about programming. He's programmed to win. That's what he was bred to do, was to fight and to win, which gives us, of course, a look back at what we know from the Clone Wars, at the troops that we all grew up with. Or maybe not grew up with, but enjoyed watching for the five seasons it was on, or six with the extra episodes they released afterwards. Jay, fill me in on Rex.
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, he mentioned that it was part of his programming, and he said, you know, just like the droids. And I think that, of course, we immediately think of the clones when we hear that, because of course they were programmed from birth to do these things. But you know, I got to thinking about it a little bit more as well, and you know, really anyone that's in the military is sort of gone under programming, you know, through basic training and through all the things that they are taught about the philosophies of the military and the things that they have to do and their specialties, no matter what that is. I mean, all military are programmed, quote unquote, to some extent. So, you know, of course, being the experience that Rex had, he's definitely going right back into that element, as you said.
Let's talk about a little bit when they get captured, because at some point here during the episode, you know, they wind up walking into the ship, into the hangar bay. They find the weapons that they're looking for. And, of course, they get trapped in that classic ray shield that we know from, of course, Revenge of the Sith, and that we saw during the Clone Wars, that you never see during Rebels, or you never saw during the original trilogy either. So we get that nice little kickback to those times as they get captured. And of course, the droids come out, and that's when they realize there are actually battle droids still alive and kicking on this ship. And they wind up being shocked and captured. And then we see Rex waking up, and he's of course in a daze. He realizes there are droids around. He's got droids everywhere. And he immediately goes back to the war at that point. He even says, "The war, it's not over." Then he starts looking for Cody. He calls out Cody's name as he hears somebody calling his name. He assumes it's Cody. And of course, we know Commander Cody, of course, was the clone commander, of course, who followed Obi-Wan Kenobi around and unfortunately turned on him in Revenge of the Sith. But definitely a very deep connection he felt at that point to the war. When he came out of that dazed from being shocked and he started calling out for Cody, I mean, what were your initial thoughts on that, Jason?
You know, the just his reaction coming out of that, and I mean, there was almost a little PTSD in there, just a little bit, and that Kanan was able to shake out of him. But just he was there. He was back in the time of the Clone Wars, where he lived most of his, you know, adult life. And saw most action. And it's just, I mean, it was moving at that moment. You really felt for him when he was going through that. And it was good that Kanan was there to kind of shake him out, bring him back to the moment.
Exactly. He was definitely needed Kanan to bring him back into reality at that point. Cause he was in war at that point. He was remembering everything that he had gone through. Through so many years of the Clone War, and of course, when the plan is being hatched about the battle that they're going to go through, I mean, Rex is against it. Rex is resisting doing anything that this super tactical droid Kalani, which was his name, was wanting to do, and he was against it. He was resisting it. Why do you think he was resisting it?
Well, I think, you know, just like Jason was saying, when you have post-traumatic stress disorder, any of that kind of stuff in the military, you start to freeze up. Anxiety is preeminent, and there's a fear there, and fear will freeze you up. And I think like Jay and like I said, Jason have said it, there's definitely PTSD. That's one of the things I was going to mention, that's the first reaction that you see in him. When you have sights and smells and sounds, just like he was experiencing, it tends to freeze you up. But we see that in other anxiety disorders as well, test anxiety and specific phobias and all those kinds of things. But I think, you know, just on a general level, I think it's not wanting to do anything any clanker says, but then also wanting to make sure he protects, you know, Ezra and Kanan and Zeb and go from there.
We see, of course, him, of course, while he's resisting, we see Ezra just jumping in saying, "Let's do this. We'll do it. We'll make this deal. But if we're going to do this, you're not only going to release Zeb, who they wind up holding because super tactical droid Kalani, he doesn't want Zeb involved because apparently the Lasut were not involved during the Clone Wars. That's a little piece of information we never had before. Very interesting. No Lasut, Clone Wars. Write that up for a canon. So, which I figured Jason would enjoy that. So.
Yes, I have that written down myself.
There you go. So we got No Lasad in there. So he's going to hold them captive, and he's going to let the Jedi and, of course, the clone rescue them against the battle droids. And he says, and which was a very commonplace activity during the Clone Wars. And, of course, we know from watching the 5-6 seasons of the Clone Wars, there's always somebody being rescued at some point during the seasons. We always see whether it's Obi-Wan and Anakin going in and rescuing somebody, or whether they're going in and rescuing Ahsoka, or Ahsoka and Anakin are going in and rescuing somebody. There's always somebody to be rescued, and there's always, most of the time, the Jedi doing the rescuing. So definitely he's wanting to relive something that was a commonplace practice during the Clone Wars. But he's, of course, had many years to think this out, Kalani has, to try to replan and regather his forces for a victory, because he wants victory. He knows the Clone Wars ended. He's a droid. He's a very analytical droid, very smart. He knows it ended. He just assumed that initially that the shutdown order was from the Republic as a trick. Avoided the shutdown order, kept his troops alive, but unfortunately, it's been many years. They're not in the best of shape anymore, are they? So we see definitely he wants to just prove his tactical and strategic value. And he gave some very important, very, very strong numbers there toward the when he was making his argument. Correct me if I'm wrong, any of you, but he said roughly the Republic forces or the Separatist droids outnumbered the Republic forces, was it 20 to 1, something like that?
I think he said 23 to 1 or 23? 20 to 1, something like that. Yeah. Sounds about right.
It's some ridiculous, wild number. I mean, that's hard to fathom at that point, that big of a gap in troops expanse. But that's a big jump. So definitely, you go, it's like the 26% chance that they would lose, the Separatists would lose the Clone Wars. That's stunning. That's a big, big, big number for him. I mean, there's no way they should have lost at that point numerically. There's no way it could have happened. So he's wanting to prove, you know, of course, get that one last victory for the Separatist movement. Let's talk about our battle droids, because we see a lot of throwbacks to the Clone Wars and to the movies. We got our standard battle droids. We got the destroyers, and of course the super tactical. This is a walk down memory lane for everybody. Like, let's just be honest. This was a fun walk down memory lane. Jason, out of all the droids that we started seeing pop back up in this episode, what was your favorite to see return?
I think just seeing the core B1 battle droids were really fun to see in this environment, and to see them recreated so faithfully. I think in the on the episode gallery on StarWars.com, they were talking how they actually updated the models so they felt more like the movie versions as opposed to the Clone War versions. Mm-hmm. So they looked great. They sounded like they were right off the pages from the prequel era. The humor wasn't overdone, but it was just right. It made you laugh every time it came around. So they were my favorite, especially when they walked up and started talking to the stormtroopers. That moment right there was priceless for me.
Oh, that definitely made my night. That was absolutely. That's right up there with when they're trapped in the ray shield and they're going Roger, Roger, and you hear Ezra go. Who's Roger?
Who's
Roger? So definitely some great moments, and it was great seeing those B1s back. David, how about you, my friend? Which one did you, of all the droids we saw returning tonight in this episode, who did you enjoy seeing the most?
Well, Jason had to take mine, so no. I have to admit, the Droidica, I like all the different names, Droidica, Destroyers, they call them rollers. Not sure if Rex calls those clankers as well, but I think maybe the thing that I appreciate the most, and I was listening to it, is when they start firing their blasters, the Droidica. I mean, it sounded to me like they matched the sound just perfectly from the the movies and obviously the Clone Wars. I love the sound of those things. Just beyond cool.
Oh, they did definitely did a great job with those sound effects. I'm sure they just pulled straight from the files and used this a more probably enhanced digital version of that sound effect, which was great. All the sound effects brought back some great memories there. Jay, how about you? How about the droids?
Oh my gosh, I'm chomping at the bit over here. Like you, I feel like a little kid in class that like the teacher just won't call on. First of all, well, Aaron, you know how much I love droids in general. So, I mean, this was like, for me, it was just, oh my gosh, it was so great. But first of all, I want to concur with both what Jason and David said, you know, seeing the B1s in action. And oh my gosh, my favorite part of that whole thing with the B1s was that poor droid trying to get up on the ship. I made it. And then oh my gosh, my son and I, we had to rewind it because we were laughing so hard. You felt bad for the poor guy, but yet it was like, oh. That was so funny. I loved that. But the B1s are great. And you guys, you were right on, David, when you said that the sound effects were perfect. I mean, it was just hearkening back to everything that we already know. But I have to say, and Aaron, I know you already know this answer, Kalani is my favorite. Oh my gosh. I was so happy to see him because I loved the Onderon arc in the Clone Wars. And, you know, I had to go back and watch that. I actually watched that arc twice again before we recorded tonight because I love it so much. And, you know, I want to know more about Kalani. I really do, because where did he get his name? He was Count Dooku's special super tactical droid, but why was his name Kalani? I was trying to look that up. Do you guys know anything about that?
I do not. Matter of fact, I didn't even remember the connection till you were messaging me about it earlier today. That's when I'm like, oh my Lord, I remember that. It never crossed my mind. Jason, do you know anything in those words?
I do not. I wish I did. And now I'm just curiously trying to figure out if there is something to know.
Well, all I know is, you know, he was sent there, you know, by Dooku when Rash took over for Onderon from the King. Dendup was his name. And he was sent in because Rash just wasn't doing his job. And so Dooku felt that he needed to send Kalani in because he was, of course, tactical. And he wanted him to kind of take the reins and take over. Well, then when it was kind of found that it was a lost cause and Saw and Steela were taking over, then they executed Rash. Couldn't think of his name there for a second. And then that's when he sent Kalani and the rest of the droids to Agamar, where they remained ever since. So little trip down memory lane there. But I thought that Kalani's voice was a little bit less digitized this time than it was in the Clone Wars. When I went back and watched it, it was actually more humanized almost. It was less of that brass digitized voice.
Didn't get a chance to go back and watch the episode and see, watch the Onderon arc. I remember the Onderon arc very well. The voice was for Kalani was the same as it was in the Onderon arc.
The same Berger, person did it.
Greg Berger, same person actually did the voice of Kalani. So they were able to bring him back for that, which was very good, which they've been doing a lot with any throwbacks they've done to the Clone Wars. They've tried to bring that same person back. But definitely, that's a great connection. I'm glad you caught that because definitely I did. And if you're out there listening, and you know the answer to that question that Jay asked of what the significance of the name Kalani is when it comes to this droid, how he got it, or what the significance of that name is, let us know. Email us.
Please.
Write us. Tweet us. Let us know. We want to know. Give us your input. Definitely let us know. So.
And one other thing I want to jump in on, if you don't mind here, Aaron, when you guys were talking about the fact that Kalani had a lot of time to think about this, was that, you know, a droid's timeline is a lot different than a human's. So I wonder, you know, if for him, was it really that long of a time or did it seem even longer because he didn't have that human perspective to put it in? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying, and definitely that's a good question. How to answer that's a very hard to do. Jason, go
you
ahead.
You know, Aaron, we could probably have your Star Trek reference for the week and talk about the episode of Star Trek where Data turned off his internal chronometer. I was talking about time perception.
There you go.
There you go.
There's our Star Trek reference for the week.
There you go.
Oh, you guys are so bad.
Thank you for doing
that's all right. I love Star Trek too. So,
but yeah, that is interesting to think about is in terms of is time perception different for a droid? And droids in Star Wars have a lot more human qualities to them, especially. Well, in this episode, you could argue whether you're giving them more human qualities or giving the clones more droid qualities, but. I don't know if time perception is a thing for them.
You know that, and that's one thing we've never really gotten any much answers on. Any thoughts on it, David?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this as you guys are talking about it. I'm going back to, I'll date myself, when I was 8 years old in 1977, watching A New Hope in the theater, and C-3PO is talking to Luke, and they're in, like, he's taking his oil bath, and I think Luke's working on R2, and it seems like Luke asks him a series of questions, and it seems like C-3PO's answer is like, yeah, I'm not really sure who's on the ship or leading it. You know, we've been in so many battles. Looking back on that, I don't know if that makes sense, especially with her memories and 8 million forms of communication and stuff like that, but there was a humanness there to C-3PO, struggling with time and memories and, keeping everything straight over time. So that's the first thing that just popped into my head just now is Jay was asking the question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and you know, I think that there's so much of a crossover too between where's the line between humanity and programming. And I think a lot of that is what we're talking about in this episode, you know, as a whole, even between Rex and his programming, as we said earlier too.
But also keep throwing this out too. I mean, we're dealing with, you know, the battle droids, which were mass produced in rapid form for the Clone Wars. So their programming is going to be a little more simpler than that of Kalani's or 3POs or R2s or even Choppers at that point, because they're designed for different things. The battle droids are going to have simple programming, so they may not notice the passage of time from a human perspective the way maybe Kalani did. Kalani, I think, in the long run, this is just, of course, my opinion, I think he knew the time had passed, but without having that human element to understand and to feel the passage of time, he wasn't able to grasp it.
Yeah, to him, it just felt maybe like days. But did you notice, though, how I'm sure you guys caught this, where the B1s were saying, oh, this is our first capture in a long time or in years, he said. And then the other one said, this is our first one ever. So he was putting it even in the concept of years. So, yeah. You know, but what's a year to a battle droid, too? So who knows?
Exactly. Exactly. And definitely it was that was one of my favorite scenes too, those B1s drag, and they're just dragging the bodies. Did you notice that? I mean, just they got them by the feet and they're just dragging them away
and mercilessly.
I mean, just I was waiting to see somebody's head pop over a bump or something. it was just perfect. Absolute priceless, because you know those guys couldn't do much more than what they were doing. Oh, great scene. Now let's talk about the dynamic between Rex and, of course, now Ezra and Kanan. Because once this battle starts, we have Kanan pretty much telling Rex, you know, you're the soldier. This is your war. You're the more experienced out of everybody. Take command. Which is something Rex had not done probably since the Clone Wars to begin with. He hadn't had that command and that authority. So we see kind of Kanan following in behind, and Ezra, he's there. He's going to help out any way he can, but he's not used to to that kind of submission that a soldier would need to do at that point, which made for a very interesting dynamic, because Rex treated Ezra like a soldier, talked to him like a soldier, talked him down like a soldier, which made for a very interesting dynamic. We'll start with you, Jay, this time. What were your thoughts on those three interacting the way they did during this battle?
Well, you know, Kanan's going back. You know, of course, he's got a lot of memories of the Clone Wars, too. And obviously they weren't good ones at all that he had had to work through, even just with his relationship with Rex. He didn't trust Rex in the beginning. And that was something that took a leap of faith for him over a period of time. And Ezra, and this was something I thought about, too, when you guys were talking about Rex coming out of his stupor, so to speak, from being stunned, that Ezra is really the only one that has a clear frame of reference on the Clone Wars. He's the one that can step back and look at it from sort of a neutral perspective, I guess you could say, because you had Rex, who was fighting in one aspect of the Clone Wars, and then, of course, Kanan, who was betrayed by his own clone troopers and tried to be hunted down in the whole nine yards. And then you've got Ezra that's in the middle. And I know that this analogy has been made several times before about Ezra's last name being Bridger, and he's bridging the gap between these two generations, I guess you could say, or he's bridging the gap between the Clone Wars and now Rebels. But, you know, I think it was a necessary element to the storyline that they did treat Ezra like that, because this was a different type of battle. It was a different type of tactic. It was a different type of strategy. And he needed to know that.
Just some thoughts I have, Aaron.
Yes, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'm going back to Rebels Recon, and then I'll piggyback off of this. But Freddie was asked by Andy Gutierrez, his thoughts on this. And he said, Kanan and Rex are a team now, but it was zero trust before. I was just thinking a year ago right now, you know, we've gotten those initial episodes after the, what was it, the movie of the week, right, that we got in June. And then we had the episodes with Rex and introduced him and Gregor and Wolf, and there was zero trust. And so it's really neat to see this transformation into respect and friendship from where we came from back then. The other thing I was going to comment on, as you were mentioning all three of them, I've been, as you know, I watch every episode with my son who's 12 and my daughter who's 9. And it was interesting. My son was watching it and he's like, well, I noticed that Ezra is a little bit nicer, doing a little bit better in this particular episode. And because like you remember in the season premiere, when you guys covered it, there's that visual of Ezra on that that station that the Y-Wings were on. And literally, it's interesting to see Ezra going down in flames because of his behaviors. And, of course, his space parents, Kanan and Hera, save him. And then it's been very interesting to see his transformation here over the next few episodes to hopefully learning, being a little more patient. And he was more helpful here. There was that scene, though, where he's supposed to, again, as Rex and Kanan are treating him in a military fashion, he really is slow on the uptake to get over there and get that crane and smash the droidica. And Rex and Kanan give him an earful. But you really see this, not just Kanan, but Rex being mentors to him. And it's neat to see him learning and hopefully over the course of this season do better than he did at the beginning with opening Sith holocrons and stuff like that. But anyways, those are just some of my thoughts on watching these three develop and watching their interactions. But clearly, Ezra's doing a bit better than staring into Sith holocrons. So hopefully he's going to improve here a bit.
Definitely. It's the whole dynamic is interesting. Jason, how about you? Any thoughts on their shared dynamic?
I guess what was really interesting to see about this one and kind of looking at Kanan specifically, you know, Rex fell right back into the era of the Clone Wars and being in the battles, but to an extent, Kanan did as well. And I think if I remember from the comics well enough, Kanan in his younger days did spend some time with the clone troopers and befriended them. So when it came to the point where Rex called for the sword and shield maneuver, like, Kanan fell right into that and was able to instruct Ezra what to happen in even terms of when to duck and when not to, and which is pretty good for a blind man, even with the Force. So just having him there, but him also supporting what Rex needs in this episode to finish this battle, because he was able to keep a lid on Ezra. I think we saw a little bit of, as I was watching this, I was thinking, you know, Ezra's been through some dark times. We're not really sure if he's past them or if they're still going to weave in throughout the season. I would assume we're going to see a little bit more of that come through. But Kanan knew kind of when to interject himself between Ezra and Rex to make sure Ezra doesn't go off the deep end. So that was cool to kind of see those things come into play throughout the episode between the three of them.
There's so much to cover in this episode that we want to get into, because I want to go back to something Jay brought up with Ezra and his fresh outlook, almost like an outsider's in look on the Clone Wars and the end of the Clone Wars at this point. But what we're going to do first is we're going to throw it to Dan and Corey so they can give us a little bit more information about that incredible Topps trading Star Wars trading cards app, which we all know and love. Dan, Corey, take it away.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun, too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun, too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Thank you so much, Dan and Corey. And of course, if you have not downloaded that Topps trading card app, Star Wars trading card app, do it now. So much fun. A lot of great graphics, a lot of great pictures, everything. It's just fun to do. You get your free credits every day. I've been trying to collect the Rebels cards. They have a whole package of just Rebels cards you could get with Rebels, special Rebel inserts. I've been trying to get those collected. So definitely download it. You could trade with your friends. If you don't have friends that don't have the app, trade with me. I'll trade with you. Bring it on. Bring it.
And like I said, me. Do too.
And Jay. Awesome. Anybody else has the app, trade with them too. We will definitely trade with you. Matter of fact, I'll even give you a heads up. If you download the app and you're looking for somebody to trade with, go ahead and look me up. Nobody laugh. This is my screen name. This is my nickname, username on the app. It's Big Dog Stewie.
Nice.
It's a combination of multiple nicknames I had when I was a kid. So yeah, that, through
That's
college.
Great.
So it just combined them all together. It works. So Big Dog Stewie on the Topps Star Wars trading app. Look me up. Let's trade. Trade me something, Rebels. You're guaranteed to get the trade. I can tell you that right now. So let's go. Let's get back into our last battle discussion, which is just a phenomenal Clone Wars tribute. And let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode. Is the closure up for Rex and, of course, for Kalani as well when it comes to the Clone Wars. And the closure they get isn't because they won the battle, isn't because one lost the battle or won, or even that they tied. The closure they get is from the perspective of a Clone Wars outsider, someone who had nothing to do with the Clone Wars, which of course is our Padawan Ezra Bridger. And he has some outstanding insights into what happens into the Clone Wars, that from his perspective, because all he knows is what he's heard from stories. He's heard from Kanan. He's heard from Rex. And that he heard from Ahsoka before Ahsoka left or went away, wherever she is. I believe she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he knows about the Clone Wars. So he has an outside perspective on that. You know, you have, I know, talking to my father-in-law who's a retired detective, and you have this person's version of the truth, you have this person's version of the truth, put it together, you get an actual closer to the real truth at that point. So that's essentially what we see Ezra doing through this. Jason, let's start with you, my friend. When it comes to Ezra's and his view on the Clone Wars, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the way he is seeing the Clone Wars?
Ezra starts piecing it together. I don't want to say piecing it together, but he's starting to grab details throughout the episode. He's there every time some sort of connection between the droids and the clones are made. So initially when Rex was talking about his programming versus the droids' programming, that was all directed towards Ezra, and he was kind of processing that. When Kanan tells him that Rex needs to finish the battle his way, Ezra realizes that, well, so does the droids. And even when after they got through that battle in the hall or in the corridor, and Rex was like, or who was it? One of them said the droids are getting old, and Rex says, just like me. So I think throughout the whole thing, Ezra is putting these pieces together, making the seeing how similar they are. When we finally get to the end, and he's realizing from the outside, these people were discommissioned. You guys were shut down. So neither of you were destined to win. And this is, I think, the first time in Rebels that we're seeing this. We started seeing other pieces of the canon as well, how general public knowledge has no clue what we as viewers of the Star Wars universe just understand in terms of what happened at the end of the Clone Wars. The idea that this was all designed to make the Empire kind of come together. I'm not sure they still got that whole piece at the end of it, but it is obvious to them that the Empire was the victor over these two, and that he is able to work in a way that pulls at Rex's understanding of how things went to get him to understand a side with the droids, and then in a logical way that the droids can come behind and stand with them as the rebels or the Republic or whatever their perception of them is at the time. It's just to see those pieces connect together in this grand scheme is mind. It was awesome. I mean, that was a goosebump moment for me in the episode.
The whole spill and seeing Ezra connect, especially right there at the end when Rex is telling him in the speech on board the shuttle. Definitely, it was a eye-opening experience for Rex. You can see the expression on his face was quoting, not to get punny here, which I'm known for. It's almost like he found a new hope. There was a weight lifted off his shoulders. He saw something new for the first time. He had a new perspective for the first time on his entire life at that point. As one page closed and another page started. David, where do you see this interaction, this experience taking Rex from here?
In terms of the rest of the season and stuff like that?
Or in terms of his closure with the Clone Wars total at all, completely?
Well, just some thoughts, and I think I'll piggyback off of what Jason was saying. A couple things. Like you were mentioning too, Ezra is outside of it. And I think the thing that I'm pulling from right now is, I've mentioned this to Aaron before, and I'm trying to remember if I've mentioned this in the season finale last year, but in my role, in real life, I'm a psychologist. And so my role is very similar to Ezra's on a daily basis, particularly when I do marital therapy. You have a lot of times two persons that are very heated, a lot of emotion, and there's a real lack of clarity. And so when Ezra is talking in this episode, he's particularly at the end, giving Rex clarity, giving Kalani clarity. And so sometimes you can do that when you're outside of the fray. You just play that buffer role. That's a big part of what I do on a daily basis, is play a buffer role. Do my homework. And as Jason said, start putting some of the pieces together and helping each other see a different point of view. So I think for Rex, it looks like he's got some peace about him. Perhaps even like Henry Gilroy is saying, he had a hole in himself, or even Pablo saying that as well, having a hole in how he feels. So maybe by getting some closure on the Clone War or Clone Wars, that's a question I have for you guys in a minute. Maybe it's going to bring a little bit more of a calmness to him. I don't see it changing his willingness to help this crew, but maybe that's something that he can ultimately put behind him now.
With him having that hole and having that closure with the Clone Wars, of course, we know he's not going to stop helping the Rebels. But do you think this will give him a fresher perspective, a renewed energy to be more engaged than what he has been?
Well, definitely. Whenever, again, going back to the metaphor of marital therapy, whenever you can bring some closure, bring an alternative point of view, and bring some ease to that couple, you see energy return, more smiles, they're more relaxed. They can start putting more energy into moving forward with their marriage. And again, bringing it back to Rex, you know, he won't have that internal conflict as much. When you're battling that kind of stuff, depression, anxiety, et cetera, you got to put a lot of effort into trying to get through days. I'm not sure that, I don't know, I guess Dave Filoni and Henry Gilroy and those guys, they do think about a lot of this stuff from a psychological perspective, but I don't want to get off on a rabbit hole too far and say that, you know, Rex is all fixed now and stuff like that. But they'll have more conflicts for him. But as it stands here, I think you're going to see, like you said, Aaron, they can animate it and Dee Bradley Baker can do the voice and have him be a little more energetic and focused on furthering this battle with their adversaries.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Now, we see the impact that Ezra's insight had on Rex, but his insight also impacted Kalani as well, because Kalani was looking for that closure in the Clone Wars as well. And of course, Jay, you've been our Kalani cheerleader tonight. I'm going to throw this one to you. What kind of impact did you see Ezra having on Kalani?
Well, first of all, I just want to give some kudos to David. That was really great. I'm so glad that you were able to lend your perspective to Rex's situation. That was a learning experience for me, too. So as far as Kalani goes, you know, I'm really glad that he was also able to say, okay, you know, I can live with these terms. I accept your conditions. But you know what? You guys have like a 1% chance of beating the Empire. So I'm out of here. Mic drop. See you later. I think it was in the Rebels Recon, I want to say, is that I can't remember who it was, but they were saying that, well, he might come back as maybe an advisor to the Hutts or, you know, something of that nature. I would love to see Kalani come back, though, again in a movie, like maybe even Episode 8. Who knows? That would be pretty cool. Even in the background somewhere. I know we've talked about those little Easter eggs here and there and everywhere. But one of the things, you know, as far as this whole perspective thing is concerned, I guess you could say, is that when going back to Ezra, is that when you were talking about the fact that he was bringing this whole thing in a different perspective that we were talking about earlier, and he said, well, no one won. And then Kalani proceeded to say, well, yes, because the Republic became the Empire. So now we have a common enemy. So this makes sense. And it really, you know, you realize that that had happened. And of course, we know that the Republic became the Empire and it was all because of Palpy's machinations and that kind of thing. But it made me take a step back and really think about that. And so as I was watching that Onderon arc again today, and one of the reasons why they were having such an issue was because there was this tear between Dendup. He didn't want to join the Republic and he didn't want to join the Confederacy. So that's why Rash was put into place. But yet, even though they saw it as a victory by joining the Republic, in reality, they still lost because Onderon fell to the Empire. So this whole episode just gave me so much new perspective from, you know, just a lot of different angles for a lot of different things. So it was, yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing for me.
The perspective everybody's had tonight has just been great. This has been one of those discussions that definitely we could take on forever because there's so much in this episode and so much depth in this episode, because even though it was fun to watch and it was a great walk down memory, there's a lot of depth into what happened to these characters in this episode. And we've talked about how Ezra influenced Rex and influenced Kalani, but these guys also had an influence on Ezra as well, because he's now starting to see and share his thoughts on what happened. So their experience is now going to affect him as well. How do you think Ezra is going to carry on with this now new understanding of where everything came from when it comes to the cloners, where Rex came from, more understanding of where Kanan's background is at this point, because Kanan's got a perspective on the Clone Wars. And now Ezra has a better understanding, you can say, of that. How is this going to influence Ezra? David?
Yeah, this is just like Jay was saying, this is where it gets really deep. Let's see, I organize my thoughts so I can kind of go in a linear fashion. So Ezra starts the year out, this season, looking and using the Sith holocron. And Kanan is adamant about not using this thing and protecting him from it, giving it to the Bendu, getting it back because they needed to save the crew of the Ghost. But what ends up happening, and Kanan says it, is that, you know, it's very enticing to try to use those kind of powers, but it ends up clouding everything. And that's one of the things I think about with war. And hopefully Ezra can see that it does grind you up, like Henry Gilroy said. And for Ezra, if over the course of this season they have Kanan and Rex and, you know, even Hera and Sabine really help him to stay above that fray and not fall back into wanting to use the dark side, you know, he can have a better outcome. But once you get pulled into that stuff, it really starts to mess with you. And kind of like Jay was saying, she called it palpy. I see Pablo called him. Palps was gaming everything. That was his comment on Rebels Recon. And I think about that. His goal was to make everybody confused, keep it clouded. No one can see what's actually going on. And so I think for Ezra, if he can learn and stay above the fray, he'll have more clarity in terms of what he sees and about the war and also what's right and wrong. And I can't imagine them not exploring that the rest of the season. They've already started. And I think they'll continue with that with Ezra.
Oh, I think you're spot on with everything that you said, David. And it just reminded me too of just Yoda saying the dark side clouds everything, you know, and it's true. It does. But Ezra, I think, has grown so much in this episode. And they always say that you can't understand a person's journey unless you've walked a mile in their shoes. And I think that he got to walk a little bit of that mile in this episode and kind of see what things were all about. And you had also mentioned, and again, another Yoda quote, truly wonderful, the mind of a child is, David, when your son had pointed out how Ezra was nicer in this episode. And I think it was because he was feeling a little bit of empathy. And it all comes back to that saying when Kanan said, battles leave scars, some you can't see. And I think that really hit home with Ezra. And he's starting to see that. And of course, Ezra's maturing too. So he's starting to get a little bit more maturity, both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, the whole nine yards. So it's hopefully that'll continue to serve him well in his journey.
Perfect. Now, there are a few things that we have not talked about that happened during this episode, which deserve mentioning. We, of course, Sabine and Hera are in this episode, believe it or not, even though we have not mentioned until David just did. And we haven't mentioned them at all during our discussion, mainly because they played a very small role. They dropped Kanan, Hirex, Ezra, Zeb, and Chopper. Gosh, I haven't even talked about Chopper yet. what have I done?
Shame.
Forgive me, Chopper. I'll get to you in a moment, buddy. But they drop them off on Agamar, then, of course, head out on a mission of their own, which we come to find out is stealing fuel for the fleet from the Imperials. And, of course, they are ambushed by Governor Price and Agent Kallus again. But they still wind up making their escape. Of course, this is how the Imperials find out about Agamar, and the Imperials, Price dispatches the local garrison to that, the local fleet to Agamar to try to, of course, capture the rebels. And that's how we wind up with this nice Republic and Separatist versus the Empire battle there at the end, which, very intriguing battle. The strategy deployed by Kalani to have his droids shoot at Ezra and Kanan, who will then deflect the shots more accurately than his troopers could shoot at the rolling bombs, which we've definitely seen that strategy from Clone Wars, rolling the bombs out and blowing them up. But that particular strategy of where Kalani admits the B1s can't shoot. I mean, they shoot like stormtroopers, apparently. They can't hit a thing. So we know where stormtroopers get it now. But definitely, it was a neat strategy seeing that. And even Rex was like, this brings trust to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Which it really did. What did you think of that strategy, Jason?
Sorry, the whole section was just entertaining. It was interesting to see. I mean, for me, it was interesting for him to just openly admit that, you know, we're just not good at shooting at things, because it's, for him, it's a numbers game. It always has been. But to see them coming here with some old school Clone Wars tactics, but right up against, you know, the Empire's forces, which is, you know, not a matchup we've seen before. Especially with the walkers and everything. And then poor battle droid that got smushed by the walker. But no, I mean, it was cool to see all that. And that all was definitely a good blast from the past.
Of course, Chopper's in the episode as well. We all love, everybody knows how I feel about Chopper. Chopper's right. Chopper's my favorite. He's my man. He's my droid. And of course, he has a pretty significant role in helping them escape in this episode, because of course, he gets separated when he sees them as they're heading into the bunker where all the weapons are before they get captured. He hears the droids, the Roger Roger of the battle droids, and gets distracted and kind of turns to see what's going on and avoids capture at that point, which we'd have a completely different story if he did get captured, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. But, so true.
But he winds up finding a old school Separatist shuttle, one of the what they call the sheeped class shuttles, which they apparently wind up having three of them, and that's what they use to escape. Fortunately, one of them doesn't make it out alive. The other does, with our heroes on it, and the other one with Kalani and some of his droids, which of course they take their own separate paths at the end of the episode. But when Hera and Sabine finally show back up to Agamar to pick up our crew, and they radio in and find out, of course, roughly that they're on one of the shuttles, and this is where we find out this new shuttle that they just stole is going to be our new Phantom. We find out, of course, we've lost the Phantom there at the beginning of the season, so we've been shuttleless throughout the season. My question is, how are they going to fit that thing on the back of a goat? That's my question.
I don't know. I have no idea how that stuff works.
They sell adapters for that at Ace Hardware, right?
Hey! And there you have it, folks.
There it is, right there. Go down to your local Ace. You'll attach that shuttle to your ghost at any point.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware droid. Here you
go. Oh, there we go, folks. There we go.
And no, we are not supported by Ace Hardware in any way, shape, or form. Nope.
Now we just need a fan drawing of an Ace One droid.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Perfect.
Oh, yes, yes. That would be perfect. Oh, so we got the new Phantom. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm interested. I'm just chomping at the bit to see how Sabine paints this thing.
Yeah. You know she's going to add her little flair for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's one of the last things Kanan says is, let Sabine know she needs a paint job before they go into hyperspace. And of course, you see Sabine's face light up with joy at that point. She gets to paint. But definitely an all-around great episode. So we got a new Phantom. We got a Clone Wars reunion like no other. And the way they ended the episode spoke volumes to their tribute at this point. Because not only did they wrap up this last battle with understanding on both parties of their past, but they sent it off the right way. You know, every Rebels episode, at the end of the episode, always pops up the Rebels logo, and then it goes into the credits with the Rebels closing song. And it did not do that this time. This time the Rebels logo popped up, but it was a modified Rebels logo to resemble more of the Clone Wars style logo from the Clone Wars, which we used to see in the opening of the Clone Wars. And it closed with the theme from Clone Wars too. Replaced the Rebels music with the Clone Wars music, which was, to me, just the perfect way to end this episode. Mm-hmm. It brought the nostalgia home. It brought that reunion and that closure home. And when I saw that and I heard that music cue up, it literally brought chills for me. I mean, to me, that was the icing on the cake at this point, having Kevin Kiner bring back that music from Clone Wars, which he had done. What were your thoughts on the closing of the episode, David?
Yeah, to kind of come full circle from what Jay said at the beginning when the Clone Wars was canceled and, you know, a lot of people were in tears. I was following along on Saturday night on Twitter, just looking at some of the responses, and it was just, I mean, literally what we were saying, tears. People were so happy about it, excited about it. And like I said, I stayed up late that night. I was kind of tweeting with Dan and Corey about the Cubs and stuff like that. And also then trailing into the West Coast kind of live tweet of the show. And you could just see the reactions were just so positive, so overwhelming. Just like you said, Aaron, the nostalgia. And clearly a number of people were tweeting about tears in their eyes. So I thought it was just so cool. What a nice touch.
How about you, Jason? What were your thoughts when that episode closed?
You know, I think what this episode did more for me, I think it's less of an amount of closure for the Clone Wars in terms of making the clone, almost bringing the Clone Wars back to life. Like, the Clone Wars are now, I mean, they have been relevant. They're important in the timeline of Star Wars, but they kind of exist before this, you know, mythical gap of, you know, what is canon, what is not. And yes, they got brought into the current storytelling of what is true. But they, because they live in that kind of time frame, there has been this slow reincorporating them back into the kind of mainstream Star Wars discussion, whether it's a Gungan that shows up in a comic book or whether it's a battle droid that shows up, you know, here or there, but just having it all come together in the episode and then finally just ending this way just brings that era of Star Wars storytelling back to the forefront and the consciousness of everyone, not just the, you know, people who are in it every day, but your fans who watched the Clone Wars when they were growing up and now following Rebels, and just it breathed new life into those stories. And we've mentioned the Onderon arc a couple of times in this episode, and just having that tie-in, which, you know, that's like how many degrees of separation between us and Rogue One are we going to talk about, you know, with this episode? It's just, you know, we're not that far, and it's all just the whole universe is coming together, and this episode just encapsulated that.
Jay?
I have so many thoughts. I don't even know where to begin. I love what Jason just said, though, the fact that this has really breathed some new life into the Clone Wars. You know, we've been talking about closure. But Jason, you're absolutely spot on with that, because I know, like I said, I went back and watched it. And I think that it is going to cause a lot of fans to say, hey, wait, we've seen this before. Where does this tie in? And how does this tie in? And just like you said with Rogue One, I mean, the Onderon arc was all about Saw Gerrera and his sister Stila, you know, fighting this resistance, fighting for their freedom on Onderon. And so it will cause people to go back and watch that. But as far as the closing scene was concerned, I honestly, when I first watched it, I didn't even catch it. Until somebody was tweeting about it later, and I was like, oh, shoot, I got to go back and watch that. And then, because I think for me, it was just, there was so much sensory input at that point, and my mind was all over the place, and it was just kind of like, oh, it's the end of the episode, you know? And then it was like, boom, you're so right. I have to go back and see that. And, you know, again, with the music, Aaron, like you pointed out, and in that Kevin Kiner score with the clones, I mean, it's called The Clones. I have the Clone Wars soundtrack. I listen to it all the time. It's one of my favorites. So just hearing that again was just absolutely amazing. It was so great. And there's a couple other things I have to point out. We were talking about, yes, we do get to see Hera. Last week, Aaron, we talked about Kanan and Hera being, you know, space married. Well, I love how he said, how was your day? Just like, you know, a husband would to a wife. So how was your day? I smiled from ear to ear when I heard that. But yeah, and there's another thing too with the stormtroopers facing the B1s. And somebody had said, I think it was on Rebels Recon, it was like watching or having played with two separate toy lines, you know, mixing two separate toy lines together. And those poor droids, greetings, greetings, and then just get blasted. You know the drill. See ya. So, you know, those are just, I love that. Some of those little things just really, really made my day.
Yes, and that poor last B1 droid before he got blasted, running around with his arms in the air. Before he gets blasted by the stormtroopers.
Well, there was that little bit of trivia, too, that I guess got nixed at the last minute, that there was supposedly one of the B1s that Ezra was going to befriend, and they called him Clanky. Did you guys see that?
I saw that in the trivia, yes. They apparently were going to...
Oh my gosh, I would have loved to have seen that. And then that would have made the Roger Roger at the end when Ezra said that just make so much more sense.
It would have, definitely. It was quite interesting, especially in the trivia. I mean, if you haven't checked out if you've seen the episode and you haven't checked out the episode guide there on StarWars.com, check it out. Watch the Rebels Recon, go through the trivia guide, go through the trivia gallery, the behind the scenes gallery, the episode gallery. There's so much information on this episode that you can
see. The audio cue.
The audio
so great.
Cue. Kevin Kiner's list or track is up there for One the Clone Wars audio cue from the closing of the episode, which is phenomenal. It's right there. You can listen to that. Check it out, because you can see a lot of great stuff and learn a lot, too. So, overall, to me, this was a phenomenal episode. I mean, there's just no way getting around it. I tweeted it out wholeheartedly after I watched it that day, and even that night when I rewatched it, because I watched it a couple times during the day thanks to the Disney XD app, and of course that night as well. And overall, to me, this episode it couldn't have gotten more perfect than what it was. This was, to me, the perfect tribute to the Clone Wars. It was a perfect reminder of what came before and everything that we loved with the Clone Wars. There was story, there was depth, there was humor, The music was phenomenal. Kevin Kiner, gosh, man, I love you, dude. You slayed it again. And shout out to Brent Friedman, the gentleman who actually wrote this episode. He hit the nail on the head with this. This was, to me, the perfect, as I said before, the perfect tribute. And I tweeted it out online the day I watched, and I'll say it again right now. Thank you, Brent Friedman. Thank you, Dave Filoni. Thank you, Kevin Kiner. Thank you, D. Bradley Baker. Thank you guys for doing this episode. This was incredible. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. This is by far my favorite episode of the season to date. And this is definitely in my top five episodes of Rebels all time. Hands down. No questions asked. I fell in love with this episode from the moment I saw it. And it was, to me, it was just simple perfection, for me. And it was a great nostalgia piece for me. And it's one I'm always going to go back to watch over and over and over again whenever I can. So those are my final thoughts on The Last Battle. Let's go around and get everybody else's final thoughts. Let's start with you, Jason. What were your final thoughts on The Last Battle?
This was definitely one of the highlights so far for Star Wars Rebels for me, and for all three seasons. I would agree with you, Aaron. This is definitely top five, if not top three for me, in terms of just everything was as it should be in relation to the Clone Wars, following the development of Rex and Kanan and Ezra. Up till this point and through this episode, was their relationship was perfection. You still got appearances from all the characters and little tidbits and just great canon nuggets that we didn't have before with this episode too. So this is, it just brought it all together. It married prequels with sequels, and it's the great key that will unlock the entire story of the Star Wars universe.
Very good, very good. Jay, how about you?
I'll tell you what, going into this, I was nervous all day Saturday. I am not even kidding you, because I thought, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to Rex? What's going to happen to Rex? I was seriously nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what I was going to see. I didn't know what I was going to think. And I came out of it with this feeling, I can't even explain it. It was, like you said, it was just a thank you, almost an overwhelming collective sigh that I think the entire fandom that has followed the Clone Wars through Rebels and everything just was like, oh my gosh, that was great. You know, you got, and you did, you really got everything. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, story group, hats off to you guys, everybody that was involved, everybody that you mentioned, Aaron, because it's seamless. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, this whole timeline has been unequaled, I guess you could say, in anything that's out there. I mean, I don't care. You can take any genre, you can take any franchise, you can look at anything. And this one has lent itself spot on to the fans, to its history. You know, we've embraced, and of course we've had Legends and all this crossover and that kind of thing. But wow, I mean, this really did, it had it all. And I was left pretty speechless. And I enjoyed every second of it, and I'll go back and enjoy it again and again and again.
Absolutely.
Loved it.
Very good. Very good. David, final thoughts on The Last Battle.
Well, how do I follow you three? That's, boy, oh boy. Not easy. I think I had that 1% chance of blowing up the Death Star, right?
Never tell you the odds.
That's right. Just to kind of mimic what you guys said, you know, you look at each of these episodes and you think about character development and where the story's going, and is there action? Is it fun? Are there tears? And as all of you have said, it hits all these. I know it can seem kind of over the top sometimes with some of the praise, but kind of like Jay, I remember her saying it last week on that episode, Hera's Heroes, about the seamlessness of the timeline, just that them using Agamar again from the Onderon arc and the Clone Wars, and now here years later, they're coming back to it in a very smooth, seamless way. A way to continue to tell the story of Rebels is so beyond cool. I think, you know, just something that, that all of you have mentioned is the humor involved, and I loved it. It just helped to balance out some of the seriousness of everything that went on during the Clone Wars. So the humor was just so good, so funny. And you guys have mentioned all of them. They're just great. And then just like what we were saying a few minutes ago, just there's some incredible depth for a animated series. And what's nice is for us adults, like we can do tonight, we can just dive in and talk about some of the really in-depth issues, like what Palpatine was trying to do with the whole Clone Wars thing and using clones and battle droids to really cloud everything. And it worked perfectly for him, obviously. But I love that we can do that too. We can enjoy it on a fun level, but then, you know, obviously we can get together and talk on such a deep level with these things. So just like you guys said, hats off to the story group and Dave Filoni and this whole crew. And maybe what the best testament is, we're all going to go back and watch this episode multiple times. So maybe that's the proof in the pudding as to how good it is.
Absolutely. And they definitely made it rewatchable time and time again. It's going to be one of those that will stand the test of time when it comes to Rebels, and one that people always go back to. Of course, we always go through now, of course, after we do our final thoughts and we grade each episode or grade this episode and how on what we think it is. I'm just going to throw my cards on the table. This was an A+ for me. There's just no way around it. I said my piece earlier in my final thoughts. I'm not going to sit here and repeat it all again because this show would go on forever. But this was just, to me, like I said, this was perfection when it comes to tipping the hat at the Clone Wars. And I could not ask as a fan for anything more than this when it comes to a tribute to the Clone Wars. And I can't thank Filoni, Friedman, Kiner, everybody, Gilroy, all these people. I cannot thank them enough for doing this episode. Hands down. If I ever meet them all face to face or ever talk to them, that'll be one of the first things I'll tell them. Thank you for the last battle. It's there. It has to be done, and I can't thank them enough. So my highest grade so far this season, A+ on this episode. Reverse order. We'll start with you, David. How are you going to grade the last battle?
Yeah, I was just processing, just thinking back to Twilight of the Apprentice last year and giving that an A+. Of course, it was longer. It was two episodes. This was one episode. But I'm with you. It's an A+. I don't know how you get past that. It's just incredible. And it's right up there. Those are my two favorite, Twilight of the Apprentice and this episode here. They're the top two.
Perfect. Perfect. Jay, grade it.
A+, definitely. You know, these episodes that are doing these focuses on individual characters, and of course we got mainly Rex this week and Hera last week, and you know, the only reason that I gave the A- last week was because I wasn't quite sure I bought into Hera's personification, but this one, it had everything. I mean, you couldn't have gotten more spot on with everything that we saw. And so I'm loving all of these episodes being so focused on these characters and, you know, specifically, and developing them and showing them through these story arcs. That's just, it's really exciting. And I'm looking forward to what we have in store for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jason, what's your grade, my friend?
A+, like everyone else. There's very little we could say about this episode that isn't just spot on.
Absolutely, definitely is. Definitely a phenomenal episode, and definitely it's going to be one everybody talks about for a long time. But definitely, it was just a great episode. I when it comes to praising this episode. I get speechless, as you can tell. So definitely we'll leave it at that. Phenomenal episode. The last battle was awesome. Next week, next episode, we have the Imperial Super Commandos. We have a Sabine episode. We got Mandalorians. It's going to be a blast. I'm sure it's going to be. So I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of Sabine, we have a winner in our contest. If you've been listening, you know during the Antilles extraction, we made the announcement that we were doing our first giveaway of the season for a 3¾-inch Sabine Wren action figure that was just recently released. Posted the picture up on the Rebels Reaction Twitter page. If you missed it, go look at the picture. Beautiful figure. And we have our winner this week for the Sabine Wren action figure. So, without further ado, the winner of this contest, of course, is a gentleman by the name of Chris Case. Congratulations, Chris. You have
won. Crowd goes wild.
Yay!
Yay!
So, congratulations, Chris. You won that Sabine Wren action figure. I'll be contacting you shortly to get in contact to get this figure to you. We want to make sure it gets to you. Great. Thank you for everybody who participated and by commenting on the in the show notes. Definitely there's a lot of great feedback for that particular episode in there. And we love your feedback. Hands down, no questions asked. I love your feedback. Everybody here at Coffee Kenobi loves it. We want to hear it. Share it with us. Share it with your peers. Whether you comment in the show notes, or of course, if you want to make it more personal, you can actually email the show, rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. Hit us up on Twitter @rebelsreactions. Definitely, we want to hear your thoughts on the last battle, which I'm sure there are a ton of thoughts out there and a ton of opinions. So please let us know. Who knows, your thoughts may end up in a future episode of Rebels Reactions. You never know. But, of course, our guests are here as well. And, of course, I'm sure you want to share your thoughts with them. So, of course, let's start with the our newest podcasting partner here. Let's start with Jason. If somebody wants to continue the conversation with you off the air, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
You can absolutely reach me. I do all my Star Wars discussion on Twitter @StarWarsTCE, which is my Twitter feed for my YouTube channel, Star Wars The Canon Explained. And I've also started a new venture recently, and I'm co-hosting a podcast on Star Wars Destiny, which is the newest card game coming from Fantasy Flight Games. So if you want to check that out, www.thechancecube.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Very good. Very good. David, how about you, my friend?
Yeah, real simply, I'm on Twitter. First name David _ then Modders, MODDERS.
And Jay?
Well, my favorite vice, of course, is Twitter, just like everybody else. And I am at Joyce Krebs, JoyceKrebs. You can also email me on Coffee with Kenobi. And I am JK, it's JAYK. @coffeewithkenobi.com, and you can pick up my blogs there as well. And I also write a fashion review blog called Core Worlds Couture, where I review fashion items from a mature perspective. So there you go.
Perfect. Perfect. Very good. Very good. And of course, if you want to reach me, best way to get me is Twitter @TAHarris121079. They're on the Twitter. Yeah, and of course you can email me @aharris. Oh wow, you can email me @aharris@coffeewithkenobi. There's too many ats in this sentence. I just messed it up royally. Email
it's
me.
It's late. It's okay.
Let's try this again. Email me @aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. There we go. Woo. Got through it. There we go. Of course, all this information will be in the show notes. Definitely check it out at coffeewithkenobi.com. Check out our other great podcasts on our network as well. Our flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club. We have, of course, Lattes with Leia, Comics with Kenobi if you like comics, Legends Library if you like the Legends series of books. A lot of great shows, a lot of great things to listen to. Check out the website too. Tons of blogs published every day. news, updates, blogs. It's all there right there at coffeewithkenobi.com. So definitely check it out. And again, congratulations, Chris Case, on your win. Don't fret, though, everybody. There is a future contest coming up. I already have that in the works. So just keep listening, and who knows? You may win the next contest. So
there is another.
To quote Yoda, absolutely. So definitely, everybody, thank you so much for listening to Rebels Reactions. Or actually, I think we'll rename it tonight, A Cup of Rebels.
Nice.
In memory of A Cup of Clone Wars. There we go.
Aww.
Yay. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you so much, Jason, Jay, David, for joining me tonight. Great discussion. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And again, remember, this is the podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here.
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.